Well, happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there, and happy Mother's Day to my mom. I saw you in the chat section. Hey, Margie Odd, great day, and happy Mother's Day to you. Happy Mother's Day to my beautiful wife, Jess, who did such an amazing job leading worship this morning. So proud, so proud. Well, about a month ago, Pastor Jeff asked me to speak on this very special day, Mother's Day, and my first response to him was, sure, boss, whatever you want me to do, I will do it. But do you have any tips for me? I'm going to find it a little bit difficult to channel my inner mother this morning because, well, Pastor Jeff, I'm not a mother. I don't know if you've realized that. And the truth is that I feel really unqualified to stand up here and speak today. Why, you ask? Simple, because I am not a mom. This is shocking revelation to you, I know, this morning. I really do not have a clue about some of the challenges that mothers experience, let alone some of the challenges that mothers have faced in this past year. I just look at my own home, and I see some of the differences that have taken place in the last 14, 15 months. What about moms having to balance the working at home or teaching at home, in our case, while kids are online school and there's a toddler running around? That's fun. And not being able to see our parents, or having parents not being able to see their grown children, or, in our case, their grandchildren. What about this one? We never have any issue with this one, I'm sure. Remaining calm when we're constantly in each other's spaces. I know you love being around each other 24/7, and you love your kids so much, and you love your wife and your husband so much. But it's difficult to remain calm in some of those situations. What about this one? And we experienced this a little bit in our house. Responding to fear. Even the term COVID-19 freaked out our kids a little bit at the beginning, and they were responding to fear, and we had to deal with how to talk to them about COVID-19 or the uncertainty. The uncertainty, are we going back to school next week? Lord Jesus, let's just stop for a moment and have a prayer for that one. But there is so much uncertainty going on right now. Mothers and non-mothers alike face these things, and I think it's important today to acknowledge, just kind of as that video and Pastor Jeff mentioned it earlier, that today is really a difficult day for many out there. Maybe there are some of you who are reminded of a mom that has passed away. Or maybe this brings back memories of severed relationships. Or those who desperately want to be a mom, but it simply hasn't worked out for one reason or another. And I could go on and on why Mother's Day might be difficult this morning. So this talk, this message is for everyone. So please, don't tune out this morning. This isn't just for moms with kids. This is for everybody out there this morning. So I've said all that to say that I am definitely not qualified to speak this morning. I really don't have a clue. And everyone in the chat section, you can write, amen, Pastor Steve, you do not have a clue. This is the most truth you've ever spoken. But that doesn't mean we should all tune out in this moment. Why? Because I have this beautiful thing called secondhand information. I know many of you have that secondhand information too. I mentioned it before, but I am married to the mother of my three amazing kids. I've had a mom my entire life. And I've had those around me who have spoken into my life and have walked into my life in motherly ways. So I have this amazing secondhand information. But most importantly, the Bible speaks into the lives of mothers, both to the original listeners who the Bible was written for, and us today who listen to the Word of God. There is no doubt that God blesses all mothers with an incredible amount of patience. Thank you, Mom, for that patience. An amazing amount of grace and a wonderful supply of life, of love. Moms, we truly do love you so much. And somehow you do so much. You're so active. And at the end of the day, there's always something else to be done. You know, for many of us, mothers are the centerpiece of our life, especially when we're young. Our mom is the thing that kind of grounds us and that brings us back center. And I love this little story. I saw this week. A teacher gave her class of second graders a lesson on magnets. I love science class. And she taught about, of course, what do magnets do? They attract one another. They repel. And the next day in a written test, she included this question. My full name has 6 letters. The first one is M, and I pick up things. What am I? The teacher thought this was going to be the most easy question for the kids to nail. When the papers came back to the teacher, she was a little bit shocked and she was astonished of what 50% of the kids wrote. They didn't write magnet, which was the correct answer, of course, but they wrote mother. Picks up after them, six letters, and starts with them. It makes sense to me. They're smart kids. So being a mother today is definitely a difficult task. Sometimes you are asked to juggle career and a family just to make ends meet. Sometimes the demands can almost be overwhelming, but I want to ask you to consider one thing today. Something that we don't talk about very often. I want to talk to you this morning about three ways that leaving legacy as a mom or as a mother will impact others, will impact future generations. As believers, I truly believe that we are called to leave a legacy of faith which will last far, far outlast our good days, and it'll far outlast our bad days. You see, we often go to financial advisors and professionals who make sure that we have enough money for retirement and even to leave an inheritance for our kids. We focus on having everything in order so that we can leave our children with the best. And this is good. But the greater question is not how good of a financial inheritance can I leave my family or my kids, but rather how godly of a legacy will I leave them. To everyone listening this morning, let me encourage you, men, women, everything in between, leave a legacy that lasts beyond your finances, that lasts beyond your sense of humor, that lasts beyond even the things that make you you. Leave a legacy. We're going to read this morning from 1 Timothy 1, 1 to 5, just five short verses here. The Apostle Paul writing to his protege, Timothy. It says this, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, in keeping with the promises of life that is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve as my ancestors did with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that it now lives in you also. Motherhood does change from generation to generation. There's no question that motherhood looks different for my mom than it does for my wife Jess. It changes from generation to generation. The world has changed so much. But the importance of leaving a lasting, godly legacy of faith doesn't. So let's consider the unchanging principles that we find in the Word of God. The first long-lasting impact of leaving a legacy of faith is that it directly blesses your family. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. Moms, you've been given just an amazing responsibility and opportunity to impact your children beyond just this moment and beyond just this life. And I believe that the greatest impact that you can make through your faith in God who brings hope, hope in hopeless situations, peace through stormy times, and joy in the middle of trials. Through all of these seasons, the good times and the bad times, you have people watching you. My kids during, seems like every lockdown, or I can't believe we were saying every lockdown. Yes, this is our third one. Every lockdown, they tend to pick up a new habit or new talent. And what now, what is going on in my family is kind of weird. And Anna, my daughter, she is obsessed with being a contortionist. It's so weird, like Cirque du Soleil style. And if I even think about some of those moves, I don't get it. I've seen so many videos on this famous contortionist, Anna McNulty. She's like, her name just rolls off my tongue now, Anna McNulty. But every 5 minutes in my house, Anna is trying a brand new stretch or a new way to make herself into a pretzel. It really is incredibly impressive. Like, I just can't imagine trying to complete these movements. But because of this obsession that she does have with being a contortionist, She wants Jess and myself to notice every single move that she makes. I think the most popular phrase over the last 4 weeks in my household has been this: watch this, look at this, check this out. And the truth is, most of the times we are watching, but if we don't give 100% attention to that new move, even though I don't even notice the difference sometimes, she definitely knows that I'm not watching. She will say, "Did you see it?" And I'll say, "Sorry, Anna, I'll give you my full attention this time. Did you see it, Dad? Did you see that one?" She notices when I am not giving her my 100%. Children are observant, and they'll notice how your faith responds through all the seasons of life. Paul wrote this to Timothy, a faith that dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. The faith that Timothy now had was found in his mother and also in his grandmother. Now, this does not mean that Timothy had faith automatically just because his mother did, but it does mean that Timothy saw a genuine faith in his mother and grandmother. As a result, he chose to follow Christ faithfully as well. If you take your church or take your children to church, or you gather around your TV or your iPad this morning every week, but they never see a true life of faith the rest of the week, there's an issue. This type of faith will not have the impact that you might want it to have. Your children need to see a genuine and sincere faith in you, a faith that affects the way that you act, a faith that affects the things that you say, a faith that affects the very thing that you are. I don't know if you've noticed this, but in our society, we've been able to compartmentalize our lives to the point where we have one box for faith, one for family life, we have another box for work, we have another one for friends, we have another one for sports, and all of these boxes seem to be disconnected. We can be one person at church and a completely different person when we're at work, or we can be a different person at work than when we are when we come home. If your faith at home is not real, your children will notice it, and it will affect the way that you live. Just like if I'm not giving my 100% attention to Anna, she'll notice. Being genuine throughout all facets of our life will allow those watching you, let me be honest, there are more than your kids watching you. There's your coworkers, there's your friends, there's skeptics, there's believers. And they want to see your relationship with Christ and how that sets you apart in every action of your life. This world truly needs more genuine followers of Christ. Let your light and faith shine through, even when you don't understand all that is going on. Shine that light. One of the things we've been working on at our home and in our family is simply not to pretend that we have all the answers. Through the difficult questions, through the simple questions, through the math questions, through the questions about faith. It's okay to say that we don't have all of the answers. Parents, moms, especially this morning, I'm giving you permission. Yes, Pastor Steve's stamped approval is giving you permission this morning to say, "I don't know." It's okay when you have conversations with your kids to talk about the doubts that you might have, to talk about the questions that you might have. Let me be honest that Jesus will meet you right in those moments. Jesus calls us to follow him even when we do not understand exactly what is going on. That type of genuine response, even though it might be difficult, goes a really long way. And that type of faith, that type of legacy, will bring an amazing blessing to your family. The second impact of leaving a legacy of faith is that it will continually encourage your faith. Have you ever noticed how kids copy what you say and what you do? This can be a dangerous game. I've noticed this with my kids and their facial expressions. I don't know if you've noticed, but I tend to overexpress my face. Have you noticed this? This is a squirrel moment, as Pastor Jeff likes to say. Have you noticed that when you wear a mask, your facial expressions get bigger and more expressive. Simply, you need to let people know through your eyes because they can't see if you're smiling or frowning or anything. But when you wear the mask, I find your facial expressions just go over the top. But what I've noticed is my kids' facial expressions, they tend to echo what I'm doing, if it's a roll of the eyes or what it is. I'm so sorry, guys. But they watch what you're doing. Just look at the toys that are for sale for kids. There's a reason that the most popular toys and sets are made to look like, what, kitchens and workstations. And now, the big one, every kid has a fake cell phone. Children love what their parents are doing. It's more than just a fun game. They're learning things. With that said, let me ask you a question. What are they learning from you? See, this just doesn't go out for moms and for dads. Regardless of where you are on your journey of faith, we should have people around us that are pouring into our lives of faith. As we look to Christ, we're reflecting who he is so that others will look at us. If you leave a lasting legacy, it continually encourages not only your faith, but your faith to those around you. Paul tells Timothy this, that he remembers the sincere and genuine faith that he has. And he reminds Timothy that he first saw that faith in his mother and grandmother. In other words, Timothy was encouraged to have a faith in Christ because he saw that faith lived out through his mother. I went to an arts high school. I've shared this with you before. And I was just telling Jess the other day, I don't know why this came up, but that I, in high school, never took one gym class. I just did not take one gym class. But I did take two visual arts classes every single semester. And we had some amazing opportunities through visual arts. But can I be honest that I was absolutely horrible in visual arts. I was the worst. I enjoyed it so much. I would work like you wouldn't believe. But every single piece of art that I put out there was just horrendous and was horrible. But there was no more horrible piece of artwork that I ever created than in pottery class. I don't know if you've ever tried to make pottery on a wheel, but I was horrendous. I made the biggest mess possible. My art teacher said she loved me, but I'm sure deep down inside she wished that I would never do pottery again, because every time I would stick my clay on the wheel, I wouldn't stick it down far enough. I'd start the wheel, and then the clay would go flying off the wheel and splatter all over the floor, the windows, hit my friends with clay. Oh, it was disgusting. My pieces, they were never smooth, because why? I just wasn't very good. They had air bubbles in them. They had cracks. But my teacher was so gracious to me. Even when I would complete a piece of artwork, she would put it in the kiln. She would fire it up. She would warm that kiln up so that I would have a piece of art to go home with. My problem is that they were never smooth, that they were always had bubbles in them. And when they hit the kiln, when they hit the fire, they would crack, if I was lucky. Most times they would explode. And to this day, I took probably 8 pottery classes, and I do not have one piece of pottery that survived the kiln. Not one. My goodness, my teachers are so gracious with me. Verse 5 says this, I am reminded of your sincere faith. The word sincere in this passage comes from the Latin word meaning without wax. In the original Greek, it means sun tested. See, in Bible times, the merchant sold very fine porcelain and pottery that was greatly valued. And because it was greatly valued, it would cost a lot of money, and they would make a lot of money, and it would make their livelihoods. They would make so much money. But what would happen sometimes is that they would have this piece of pottery, and it would look kind of like mine. It would have a few cracks in it. And what they would do is they would smear pearly white wax over these cracks. And then the piece of pottery would look unblemished. It would look beautiful. But there was one test. All they would have to do is they would hold this pottery up against the sun. And if there was cracks in it, they would just vaguely see those cracks. Honest merchants, what they would do is they would mark their pieces with this title. It says Sincera, which means without wax. That's a picture of genuine sincerity. This wasn't a sham. There was no hypocrisy in this piece. There was no hidden cracks to be covered over. The Apostle Paul is saying that a sincere faith passed down is a lasting legacy that produces fruit beyond yourself and beyond your years upon this earth. Timothy came to faith in Christ because of a godly example, and others came to faith in Christ because of Timothy's godly example. A lasting legacy continually encourages your faith and helps grow the faith of others. This type of faith, this type of genuine faith exhibited in your life will be an encouragement to your children and to their grandchildren and to the generations that will be impacted far beyond the moment. There are absolutely no guarantees in parenthood. Moms, there are no guarantees for you this morning. Just a word of encouragement. There is no formula that you can follow to make sure that your children will turn out perfectly. And that's what we want from our kids, isn't it? We want them to live their best life. And I can't stand here and tell you that if you live a godly life for your children, they will follow the exact same path. But what I can tell you is that your godly example will encourage them to do the right thing. And as they grow older, when trials come their way, they won't necessarily remember the amazing iPad that you gave them or the Xbox that they love so dearly. But they will reflect on how you stood when everything else was crumbling around you. I want to encourage you this morning, let your faith stand when adversity hits. Your example is probably one of the greatest things that you can do to ensure that your children will live godly lives. Let me ask you another question this morning. What are you encouraging those who are watching you, whether it's your children, whether it's a mentor, mentee, whatever it might be? What are you encouraging them to excel in? I don't know about you, but I want my kids to have lots of fun. I think that's amazing. I love to have lots of fun myself. I want to see them play soccer, and I want to see them excel in sports. I want to see them to enjoy their gymnastics classes or their contortionist moves, even though it looks like it hurts so much. I want them to enjoy their music lessons. See, all of these things are incredibly wonderful. But don't forget to use those moments as teachable moments to encourage them to excel in their faith. As families, you know, it's good sometimes to sit down and to take a few minutes and to record what you prioritize. And if Jesus is not that number one priority, and you want him to be, maybe there's a season that you need to rearrange a few things to make sure that he gets all of your attention, all of your priorities. Your faith will go beyond here and now and encourage the faith of future generations. We serve a God of generations, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. The third impact of leaving a legacy is that it will ultimately enrich your friendships. Paul begins this personal letter to Timothy by calling him my beloved child. It is clear that through this passage that Timothy and Paul had developed a close personal relationship. Paul considered Timothy his son in the ministry. Paul invested his life into this young man. He trained him. He encouraged him. He mentored him. Paul's presence in the life of Timothy encouraged him to grow in godliness. Have you ever stopped to think about how Timothy encouraged Paul? Or how Timothy enriched the life of Paul as a result of his faith? Verse 3 and 4 says this. Paul says that he is thankful for Timothy. And verse 4 goes on to say that he says that he is longing to see Timothy so that he might be filled with joy. It's clear that Timothy's faith was encouraged by his mother and by his grandmother. As a result of that faith passed on to Timothy, he was a huge blessing to the Apostle Paul, who was one of the greatest Christians to ever walk this face of the earth. Look at the long-lasting effect that Lois and Eunice had. Look at the effect that a mother and a grandmother had. Now, do you think that they were expecting to bless so many people by being a godly example? I really don't think so. I think they focused on passing along a godly heritage to Timothy. But look how God can use genuine and sincere faith. Look what God can do through one faithful mother and one faithful grandmother. Look what God can do through one family that's committed to Christ that will be the most important thing. Look what God can do through one church that's committed to reach the world for Christ. Through every season, we're called to be influencers. And I know influencers is an interesting word these days. It means a lot of different things than it did even 4 or 5 years ago. So I'm not talking about like the social media influencer. I'm just going to hop on here for a quick moment and tell you about this product that absolutely changed my life. It's the best product in the world. No, I'm not talking about that type of influencer. I'm talking about letting your faith influence those around you. Let me tell you a story of an influencer. Growing up, I was a pastor's kid. So I saw a lot of things that went on in a church. Some good, some great, some bad, some ugly. But to be honest, mostly really good. Probably one of the coolest things that I saw in my church growing up was from a lady who wandered into our church on a Sunday evening. Simply because she had made a lot of mistakes in her life. She was going down the complete wrong path. And she did not feel safe in her situation. So she just wanted to go somewhere where she thought was safe. So she wandered to the church. And she just had a simple prayer, probably a lady who has never prayed a prayer like this in her life. She said, "Lord, protect me." That night, she experienced the love and the grace from Jesus. Her life was totally changed because she called out for help. Now, just as a quick side note this morning, perhaps you're watching this morning and you don't know where to turn. Perhaps you feel like you're in an unsafe place in your life. Perhaps you just don't know the answers to the questions that are being asked to you. It's simple. All you have to do, like this lady did, and I'm going to go on in her story in just a moment, but all she did was a simple prayer as she reached out to Jesus and she asked him to rescue her in her awful state. That's all you have to do this morning. If perhaps you're just tuning in, you have no idea why you're watching this. Just call out to Jesus. He will answer you and he will rescue you. All right, side note, back to the story. I won't give you all the details of her wrongdoings, but the very next morning, she was arrested. This was the lead story on that day's news, live at 5 for all you Maritimers out there. I remember sitting with my parents at supper time and my dad saying, "Hey, look, there is our newest convert." She, along with her son, were being put into the back of a police car. She had told her son that evening about what had happened. And do you know what her son did? Her son actually accepted Jesus that night. They knew things were going down and they knew that they needed the protection of Jesus. But let me tell you, this was a real relationship moment for them, and he accepted Christ, and the mom accepted Christ. While they were in prison for a long time, these brand new Christians became influencers. They started having Bible studies, and dozens upon dozens came to know Jesus. They were leaving a legacy that would greatly affect those around them. When they got out of prison, their whole family came to know Jesus. We would go to church on Sunday morning, and there they would be, the mother and the son, and then their whole extended family would take up 2 rows of pews. Do you know what they were doing? They were influencing generations both after them and before them with the gospel of Jesus. And I'm sure because of their genuine faith that even today, like 30 years later, that God is changing lives. God is changing lives because of the faith of these mother and son.
Father, I want to thank you so much for the moms who are watching today. We pray that you would help them to leave the best legacy. God, I pray right now that you would bless them. I pray that, God, you would give them the strength they need, the wisdom in situations, God, where they just don't know what to do and they throw their hands up and they're just frustrated because the natural inclination one way or the other is not there. Holy Spirit, be the wisdom that they need. God, I pray that you would just speak life into them. In the moments where they feel like they're not meeting the mark or they could have done better or they feel like a failure, God, I pray that those lies would be removed. And I pray that they would know how much they've placed in their kids, how much they are placing in their kids, God. I pray that you would bless them in an incredible way. Father, be their source of strength today, we pray. And Lord, as we conclude this service, I just pray that you would be with each of those who are watching. Would you minister to them this week and help them to leave the best legacy in each person they come into contact with? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.